Okay.
After good morning, everybody. Yes.
After Halachmo, we have the so-called four questions.
Yes.
I've got here bang this. Why is this night different from all other nights?
Yes.
Question mark.
Yes.
And all the rest of it is answers. There's only one question.
Okay. We talked about it when we said. What other have you got there?
Yeah, but each answer implies a question. You answer each one separately.
Maybe you think that everybody understands it, but the big question is, Ma nishtana alayla hazeh mikol halev? What is the difference between this night and all the other nights? And then the Agada explains to us a few things. That they are all a part of the question. If we look at it, we see that Agada is telling us...
They're all answers. The four.
No, they're not answers. They're all questions. They're all a part of the questions. Here. Ma nishtana halayla hazeh mikol halelot? What is the difference between this night and all other nights? Shebechol halelot, that's the beginning of the question. That is asking what is the difference between this night and this night. What do you mean? No, what do you mean? What is the question?
The question is why
this is the answer why this night is different. Yeah.
What is different?
We don't need
chometz. Yeah, בכל הלילות אנו אוכלים חמץ ומצה. בלילה הזה כולו מצה. Why? That's the question. That's a part of the question.
But there's no why here.
I know there is no why here. So if you take, like he did, let's read it and understand what it's written. Manishtana alayla ze mikol halelot. The question is, what is different between this night to all other nights? That's the question. Now, you separate and you tell us what is a different between this night and other night. But that's not the answer because this is the question. Why do we do on this night this, and all the other nights we do that? Why do we do this night this, and not? Bechol halelot anu ochlim chametz u'matzah. Every day through the year we eat chametz and matzah. No problem, yes? On the contrary, we do mitzvahs also with the chametz. Suddenly, this night, it's all matzah. And chametz is bal yira'eh u'bal yimatzeh. Okay?
Is this not an answer to the first question?
What's the answer here? You tell me the answer. Okay, you tell me the answer.
Yeah. Now all the nights we can eat either.
Your son is asking you a question. Let's put it in the right way. Your son is asking a question. What is the difference between this night and all other nights? So you say the answer is, in all other nights we do this, and in this night we do that. Did you answer him the question? What? The question is, what is different between this night and other nights? The difference. Why? Why do you do those things? You see, that's exactly the point. We're missing the point. What is the Seder night about? All the things we're doing that are different from all the other years, or all the things we're doing are really to make us ask the questions, why do we do those things at this certain night, which we don't do during the whole year?
Yes. What difference does it make?
It's a big difference. Because if you say...
whether you take it as statements or questions.
Exactly.
What's the significance?
It's a statement that is a question.
It's an elaboration of the question.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
We all agree.
What you really want to know is, why do you do all those things at this certain amount? That's the question. Why do you do those things? Why? Because that's, okay, you answer your, and by the way, the halacha says that if you told your son, if you have a little son or whatever, or grandson, and you told him now that he can go to sleep, you didn't do the mitzvah of the Seder night. Why?
Yes, it's right.
Because you didn't answer in the question, because the real difference is we're talking about Yetziat Mitzrayim this night. That's the answer. The whole Agada is the answer for this question.
You make it even worse.
Yes.
You tell us, the father asks a question, and he never gets the answer.
No, you have to give him the answer.
No, I'm saying, the answer is the rest of the same.
Exactly. It can be also...
No, but some people will say, well, I know the whole story, I'm
Yeah, but that's why, what do we do afterwards? עבדים היינו, אפילו כולנו חכמים, כולנו נבונים, כולנו מצווה עלינו לספר ביציאת מצרים בלילה הזה. In other words, even we know everything, and we wise, and we old, and we did this Seder for 40 years, 50 years, 70 years, still we have to sit this night and tell the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Now you have to explain. Now come the Arba Abanim, and you have to explain each one of them why. Why do you need this night? Why? Because the whole 3 year around, you are talking about Yetziat Mitzrayim. The whole year.
But, it's a big
but. Of course there is a but.
Great-grandfather, your grandfather, he makes it very simple. He says, all year long, we have a mitzvah. We have to consider this year's event the entire time, except that we do it on automatic pilot. You say it's sold.
Yeah, we talked about it, I think, last week or the week before. We talked about this. Exactly. We talked about it. So, I want to make it clear. Ma nishtana is a question that is built from four statements that I'm making the question, because otherwise there is no question. Because when the son asks, Ma, what is the difference between this night and the other nights, it means, why do we sit here? What is the difference between mentioning Yetziat Mitzrayim the whole year to this? So you telling, and it's, then, he continues and says, all other nights we do this and that. And this night we do very strange things. So that's not an answer. That's the question. Why do we do those things? Why is there a difference between this night and the other nights? Because otherwise, the whole thing that we read afterwards, we don't need it. If you think that the question is that the difference between this night and the other nights is the things that we do on this night specially, which we don't know on the other nights, you didn't answer anything. You just made a statement which leaves your son. Okay, so this night, why do I sit here? Because I have to do this and this, this and that. Why? Who knows? But ma nishtana halayla hazeh, that's a big question. Unfortunately, we are so used to think that there is a question and for answer, because the way we sing it, listen to the tune. Ma nishtana halayla hazeh mikol halelot, that's a question. שבכל הלילות אנו אוכלים שאר ירקות בלילה הזה, בלילה הזה. That's the answer. בלילה הזה, בלילה הזה. שבכל הלילות מה נשתנה? שבכל הלילות אנו אוכלים. In other words, it looks like when you sing it, that it is like another question. But that's because the one who decided to make this tune didn't realize that people will translate it to questions and answers. By the way, we talked about the Ben Arasha.
Just to clarify, if the question was, what is the difference between what is the difference between this night and other nights, then you'd be right, those are answers. If it says, why is this night and other nights? Not what is the difference, why is
it not? But the other thing I say was, I never thought about it. The father never gave me the answer.
Exactly.
He asked the question, they
exactly.
Answered what they
exactly.
Thought,
but
they
and a lot of people think that the young kids that sing Manishtana, now they can go to sleep. They did their part in the Seder.
Right.
Okay.
No,
we're going to talk about a little about Aseret HaMakot, because, you know, we're talking about Yetziat Mitzrayim. What is the whole idea? The whole idea is the proof that God is the one, the only one, there is nobody else, and it's God, and He's looking after us individually, like each one of us is His own only son. So that's the idea of the Seder night, to make it sure that we, at the end of the night, we go out with this emuna. That's why the matzah is called lechem de me'emnuta, like the bread of emuna, or lechem da asvata, the bread of health. This morning I read, every Tuesday I read a part from this book that is called Veten Chelkeinu. That's got, in each day it's got a small portion of Alacha, Mishnah and Gemara. And normally it's connected to the daily things. And today I read a very interesting thing regarding Pharaoh. The question is, the idea is, what goes through Pharaoh's head when he gets all those plagues and he still doesn't send Am Yisrael? So there are a lot of answers. And the answer that he gives in this article, he brings a mashal. And the mashal is that this guy is got, he's a shepherd, or how do you say, he's the owner of pigs or whatever. And then in one of the occasion, he finds a lamb. Okay? He called it Rachel, whatever Rachel, a lamb. Now, the owner of the lamb comes to him, please give me back my lamb. He says, I've got no lamb. And then he sees that it doesn't work this way, so he's asking people, tell me on this guy, where does he take his cattle to drink? Where are his water sources? So they tell him. So he goes to the water sources and shuts them down. Now he comes back to this guy, tells him, please give me my lamb. He says, I've got no lamb. Don't know what you're talking about. So he's asking, where does he go to feed the animals he's got? So they tell him. So he goes there and cuts everything, burns everything out. And then he comes again to the guy. Now, you want to tell me where is my lamb and you wanted to bring it me back? He says, no, I haven't got it. Eventually what he does, he asks the son, where does he go to school? And he goes and kidnaps the son. Now he comes again to this guy and tells him, okay, now where is my lamb? Now I kidnapped his son. He says, here, take your lamb and go. But 2 minutes later, he regrets giving the lamb back. He says, why did I do this? Now everybody will know that he was right and I was wrong. That I am a thief. And if I wouldn't give it back, I would still be on the right side. He says, the same day it was with Pharaoh. Pharaoh, God comes to him, Shalach et ami, send my people. Who is God? I don't know who is God. So God then turns the water to blood and then brings all the other 10 plagues. And this guy still says, I'm not going to send them. Eventually, Makat Bechorot. And now he sends them. And what happens 2 minutes later? He regrets and he says, what have I done? Why did I send them? And he runs after them. Now, is this a Meshigan or what? So, this explanation says that sometimes we do a mistake. And it's very hard when we did a mistake and people tell us to admit that we did a mistake, that we were wrong. So sometimes we go on with this mistake, even if people showing us that we did a mistake, even if we know we did a mistake, we're still going to go on the why, because otherwise I did a mistake. Like my ego, I cannot do a mistake. Pharaoh says, I am God. There is nobody that can go against me. So when I sent Am Israel, it shows that who won the war? That I did a mistake. All those 10 plagues, I got them for nothing. I did a big mistake. But now, if I'm going to take them, all is going to be okay. So somebody went to me after this war. I said, it's not exactly, it doesn't go because Pharaoh is... If they take his son, it doesn't mean, because somebody takes his son, of course he's going to give, even if he's right, obviously if he's wrong. So it doesn't, there is not a proof that Pharaoh was wrong or right. So what's the problem again? So I told him, first of all, you have to understand, there is a lesson. You know, we're not reading a story. There is a lesson for us, that's why we sit in the Seder night and we say that we have to feel like we are getting out of Egypt. What is the idea? The idea is that we have to understand, live it, to live this thing that going away from the tumah and getting out from the tumah and being released from slavery to impurity and purify ourselves. This is the whole idea of the matzah against the chametz. Because chametz, is nothing wrong with it the whole year round. But on Pesach, you're not allowed to have it. Because it's bal yera'eh u'bal yematzeh. Now, Or HaChaim HaKadosh gives a beautiful explanation about what was going on with Pharaoh. Because this lesson is a lesson. We have to admit our mistakes. You did a mistake, admit it. Okay, your honor is going to be, let's say, a little hurt, but that's life. Because otherwise you can get to a level of Pharaoh, Chas V'Shalom. Now, from Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, 10 plagues, and this guy doesn't send them? Okay, we all know that only the first 5, he didn't want to send them. But the last 5, God forces him not to send. Which is, by the way, it's also a question of free will. Where is the free will? Which is the question by itself. And if you want to like to briefly answer it, you have to understand that free will is what you really want to do. And the question is, does Pharaoh really want to send Am Israel?
No.
So we got an answer on this. So this, that God is making him hard for it, it's still, his free will would be, I don't want to send armies. But why 10? And why all those plagues? And what Pharaoh thinks to himself? Says Or HaChaim HaKadosh, okay, you tell me that God forced him to do it. Or in other words, didn't force him, he made the decision hard, or made it easy for him to decide not to send. But still, this guy is Pharaoh. He's got a brain. He has to, let's say, relate to something. He needs to have a reason to build something. Why is he not sending them? So, let's think. Says Or HaChaim HaKadosh, what did God ask him to do?
Send
what?
Children out.
That's what you're asking to do?
The beginning?
Yes.
It's, to go on
it's not the beginning. It's the whole way around. It's the whole way.
It's to go on for 3 days. And,
exactly. The only thing God is asking is not to release Am Israel. It's very interesting.
At the beginning.
It's the whole way around. You look at it, you know, you have to, the whole time, it's only I want them to come and worship me in the desert for 3 days. That's what's written. That's what we're talking about. So, you come to Pharaoh, when you tell him, yes.
Is that what God says, or that's what Moshe says?
I don't want to go to this point, but the idea is that Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what he says. That's another point. But we have to understand that what Pharaoh hears, 3 days. That's what he hears.
That's why he chased after them
after 3 days. But let's see what's going on, because he's getting those plagues. So what is happening? First of all, what is Pharaoh thinking? If this God is a mighty God, he's got all the powers of the world. That's why he says, "Mi Hashem Shesh Mabekulu." Who is this God? Well, he's asking me to send the people for 3 days. What, he thinks I'm stupid? And then he gives them back? No, what he really wants is take them out of Egypt. But he cannot do this because it's all with the special walls and animals and witchcraft and whatever. And nobody, they said, the Midrash, that nobody could get out of Egypt. So, what is he doing, this God? He is coming to me, telling me, let them go out for 3 days and then I bring them back to you. What he really wants is to take them out, but he cannot. And if he cannot, he is limited. And if he is limited, I'm going to show it. I'm not going to send them.
Not with the animals, exactly.
So what is happening is, he's get a plague and another plague and another plague, and then his servants and the slaves come to him and says, "Aterem tireki avda Mitzrayim? Well, who are you fighting with? This God is going to destroy all Egypt. Don't you see it? He's got powers, unbelievable powers. So if he's asking you to take them for 3 days, what does he mean? He means 3 days. Why? Don't ask questions. You see that he's got powers beyond your imagination. So send them. So what is he doing? He's doing a test. He says, "Mi v'mi ha'olchim?" Who is going? He says, "Benareinu, b'skeneinu," everybody. The kids, the women, the cattle. No. If you want to go to worship God for 3 days, who should go? The priests or the adults? Why do you need the kids, the wives, and the cattle? Not going. Okay? So he goes back now to his first opinion. God is limited. But then comes Makat Bechorot. Now it hurts him. By the way, Or HaChaim HaKadosh says a very interesting thing. If we look through the plagues, we will find out that Pharaoh is only asking the plague to go away if it's hurting him. He doesn't care about the people. It's very interesting. You look at Or HaChaim HaKadosh makes the whole calculation. He says, some of the plagues, when he is hurt personally, he goes, "Kach, take this thing away." But if it doesn't bother him, only his people, he doesn't care. He goes on. Because he thinks that he is fighting with God. But what do we say? Asher it'alalti b'Mitzrayim. There was no war here. God doesn't go to war with Pharaoh. He is a toy. He's just an element to show us that God is there. So Pharaoh, even after he gets hurt, He still doesn't send Am Yisrael away. But then comes Makat Bechorot, which, by the way, is the only plague that made Am Yisrael get out of Egypt. And he sent them away. But after he sent them away, his spies that he sent with them are telling him they've got no intention to go back. Because he still thinks, with all those things happening, that God is, let's say, if he's unlimited, it means that his real thing that he heard, that he wants them to go only for 3 days, that's what's going to happen, and they're going to come back. But now he hears that they're not coming back. So he says, where do they stand? Al pi achirot, in front of his biggest idol. He says, now I got them. And he thinks that still God hasn't got the power, or is limited. So he goes and chases after Am Yisrael. So this is in order to understand the logic behind what Pharaoh is doing. Because you have to understand that everything that we do needs to have a certain logic. Now, let's think to ourselves, how many times we behave like Pharaoh? In a small way. God is trying to teach us something, but we think otherwise. So we go on with our own way. And sometimes, even after we are hurt quite, let's say, severely, we still do the wrong thing. Why? Because our ego. Because not understanding that God is really unlimited, and God is there, and this Pharaoh inside us, which is Yetzer Hara, he doesn't let us see the real picture, which is the difference between Hametz and Matzah. You know, Matzah, I told you last week that, I think I told you about when I came to shul at Erev Shabbos and somebody was sitting on my seat. Did I tell you about it?
No.
Okay, never mind. So I was thinking, what is he doing on my seat? This is my seat. And he doesn't get up, he sits. So I had to sit in a different seat. And I thought to myself, why? This is pride. So what? So what if my name is on the seat? So what if I've got a seat? So what? So I am better than this guy? I should look at him as if he's better than me. I should be, humble and not proud. But the feeling that you've got a seat, this is my seat. So what? This is our fight. So somebody got to me after, and every time got in, and you know, sometimes people don't realize it. The only way to learn is why people are involved. They're asking questions, they can answer. Let's start gather. If it's going to be somebody who preaches, it's not going to work. It's going to work, but it's not the way. The way is asking questions and being involved in what's happening. So this guy comes to me afterward and says to me, you know, you're not right, because a seat is an important thing. Halachically, you need to have a moshav kavua bet haKnesset. You need to have your own seat in shul. So I said, I didn't talk about this. And this is exactly the difference between Matzah and Chametz. What is Chametz? Chametz is really the daily life that we have to go through them and elevate ourselves from the materialistic, from our pride, to be better people, to be more spiritual. In other words, yes, you need to have a seat in shul, and you pray much better when you have your own seat in a normal, in your place, and a place is very important, halachically. But that's exactly the point. It doesn't make you a better person. It doesn't mean that because you have a seat, a special seat, that you are a special person. No. You are still yourself, nothing, that God gave you everything. And this is like the way to look at it. That's the Chometz. From one side, it's pride. Wow, he's sitting on my seat. But from the other side, you must not forget. So he's sitting on your seat. What can we do? The haftar hakamocha. Let him sit on the seat. And you shouldn't feel this pride. So how do I do this? How do I fight this? That's the reason why we have this week of Pesach. Suddenly, this Chometz is not allowed. You're not allowed to see your Chometz. Why? Because you have to purify yourself. It's like, you know, I told you this, I've got a special place today that you go for a week or for a few days and clean your body from all the food, from the junk food that you eat. That's Pesach, to clean ourselves. Then you have to go back to the Chametz, because Chametz is life. That's Chametz is all about. It's not Pesach, it's what's happening after Pesach. And I read this, we were talking about looking at from two angles. every coin's got two sides. That's exactly the point. As we said, as we talked about the Rasha, you remember we talked about the Rasha. It's the way you talk to him. And I read this Shabbos, a very interesting article from Arav Uri Zohar. I think everybody knows it. Now, the Arav Uri Zohar, it all started, by the way, when he was an intellectual. Though people don't realize it, they think it was not just making jokes and things, but he was quite an intellectual all his life. And one of the things he liked to do is to argue with religious people and prove them that they are wrong. In other words, that he is right. There is no God, there is no nothing. And one day somebody came to him and told him, you know what? I'm going to send you to a guy in Jerusalem, this rabbi, and he's going to prove you that there is a God. He said, you know what? If he proves that there is a God, I'm doing tshuva. And he was waiting for this day because he thought, he is this clever guy, he knows everything. He lives in this big villa in Jaffa near the sea. He's got all the world underneath him. You know, he was the first real celeb in here in Israel. Those who remember him. So he gets to Jerusalem to this small flat, 1.5 room, whatever. And this rabbi sits there. And after a conversation of a few hours, he convinced him that there is a God. And he didn't have any other option. You know, he closed him from every corner. Whatever he said, he proved him others. So now, he said something, and he meant it. He has to become religious. Of course, he looked at the mirror, wow, I'm not going to look like him, and I'm going to live like him in this 1.5 room. Where does he live today? 1.5 room. And he says, he is more happy than ever in his life. This big villa in Jaffa doesn't do it for him. But this small room where he sits and learns the whole day. By the way, I met him in one of our family functions. And he was sitting the whole night with a small book learning. I don't even know if he ate. I mean, he had to do the Sudat Mitzvah. You asked him something, he answered you. But it was not like just looking around. He was learning the whole night. One of the beautiful things that I saw, it's a whole big article about the Ben Harasha. Or the attitude that you should have to somebody who goes on the wrong way. Unfortunately, we all know that some people are sitting shiva. If the daughter or the son went to the wrong way, they do a kriya and they sit shiva, which is completely wrong. That's not what you do. And that's why when we said in the Rasha, in the Agada, you don't shout at him. You just talk with him and explain to him that it hurts you, that you love him. And he says, if you got your kid coming home at 4 o'clock in the morning after he was going all the clubs of Tel Aviv, what should you do? You know what he says? You put a small plate, put 2 cookies on, and write a note, I love you. Unbelievable. He was talking to this guy, he talked with a lot of those who went to the wrong way. And there was this Haredi young boy who was living in a yeshiva. And he was sleeping the whole day. And eventually they told him, no, you can sleep at home. We don't need you to sleep here the whole day. So they sent him to another yeshiva, which are like kids like him that are not exactly on the right way. So the Rav Uri Zohar asked him, do you want me to tell me the difference between the first yeshiva and the second yeshiva? From what I understand, you slept in the first yeshiva, and you also sleep in this yeshiva. So what's the difference? He says, I tell you, Rabbi. He says, in the first yeshiva, when I woke up in the afternoon and late filling, just at the last minute, everybody called me a Rasha. How dare you? Sleep the whole day and now you late filling at the last minute? And this yeshiva, when I wake up in the evening before night and I late filling, they call me a Tzaddik. Look, this guy, wow, he woke up especially to still late filling. Now, he did the same thing. Today this guy is on the right way. One of the sons of Uri Zohar himself went to the wrong way. So one day he was stopping in a traffic light and I told his son, you know, I do care about what you do, but you have to understand, whatever you do, you are still my son. Banim atem l'Hashem Elokochem. It's like, he said, you don't come to a guy that just now had an accident and he's lying on the road broken, and you tell him, let's do some exercises. The guy cannot even stand up. You want to do exercises with him? And the same way, you should understand the Rasha, what we call the Rasha. That's why the Agada put him in, to tell you, you need to approach him in the right way. You need to do the right thing. And the right thing is to let him understand that you love him, that you want all the best for him. God loves us. And sometimes those things, those kids, they can think maybe God doesn't love me anymore because everybody's telling me I am wrong, I am a Russia, I am this, I am that. It's like you come to the tefillah, somebody talks. So the first thing is, shtok! Whoa, shut up! Why are you talking in the middle of the tefillah? You know, somebody told me a few years ago, there was a group of people talking in the back of the shul. So he came to them and says, "Te muchanim lishtok?" You know what they did? They took out a tongue to him, like this. I didn't want to tell him, you know. But what did you expect? If you would have come to them in a nice way and tell them, you know, I cannot hear the chazan, it's very hard, maybe you can talk in a different place. Do it nicely. The approach. That's the main thing. That's the whole idea of Igatta libincha layom uleyamo. Another interesting point, is when God takes us out of Egypt, and He tells us, "Lemaase kemaase eretz Mitzrayim asher yashavtem ba lo ta'asu." You shouldn't behave like the place we came from, and "ukemaase eretz Kna'a asher ani mevi otchem shama lo ta'asu ubechukotem lo telechu." The place where I'm bringing to you, the Kna'an, which is Eretz Israel, you also shouldn't do what the people there do. And our sages explained to us that Kna'an, Eretz Israel at that time, was in a worse situation, much more worse situation than Egypt. So the question was, what do? You take Am Yisrael out of the Tuma, and you put them back in the Tuma, in even a worse Tuma. What is the idea here? Why do you do this thing? So first of all, we have to understand in the world, if we have holiness, we have also the Tumah there. That's the way it works. And the higher the holiness is, the higher also is the other side. It's zeh keneged zeh. That's why there's a balance. It's like a tzaddik cannot say to himself, you know what, I don't want to be a great tzaddik. Because I know that the more I get wiser and I'm more a tzaddik I am, Yetzirah is going also to be bigger and bigger. So maybe I'll stay in my own situation and don't go bigger. Why do I need this all nonsense? But when he comes up there, they will tell him, you know, you had a potential. But look at him, Yossi, he didn't do half of what I did. Yossi had a different potential. But you didn't use your potential. Because you didn't use your potential, you go back now and use your potential properly. You cannot escape your job, in other words. So you cannot say, okay, I'm not going to be a tzaddik, I'm not going to learn. You have to do whatever you can to use your potential. And this means that you cannot even judge nobody because you don't know his potential or what is his job here. This is why, again, we're talking about those four sons. You have to understand, not all the same. Everybody's got his own things. You have the rad, you have the tzaddik, the chacham, which we call the chacham, and you have to answer him properly. You have there's the guy who doesn't know how to ask. So you have to help him ask the right question. And you have the innocent, the tamim. You have to explain to him what this world is all about. And you know, when you get to the Rasha, in the beginning, you don't understand, what is this Rasha doing in the Agada? Really? Why do we need the Rasha? But if you think about it, during the whole year, we always involve with the Rasha. If it's Arba Taminim, one of them is the Arava, which is the symbol of the Rasha. The one who's got no Torah, no mitzvahs, nothing. But if you take him out, did you do the mitzvah? No. Ta'anit, there is no rain. Baruch Hashem, this year we got a lot of rain. But if there is no rain and you do a ta'anit, your fast day for the rain, this says ta'anit zibur she'en ba merishei Yisrael, ena ta'anit. If you haven't got a Roshoim with you in the ta'anit, it's not a ta'anit. You know, those are strange phrases because why should the Russia even come and fast for the rain or not for the rain?
Ketores.
What?
Ketores. It has one ingredient that smells terrible.
Yeah. Again, yes. The Levona. The levona smells terribly, but only when you mix it. By the way, the good smell comes out from mixing all those things together. In other words, Am Yisrael is one nation. We are one. And we have to understand and realize it. When we sit at the Seder night and we have all kinds of people with us, and if we go to a hotel, if we go to, and we see things, something like that we don't like, don't forget, the attitude should be positive. That's the basic of everything. Like what is the Rav Uri Zohar saying? You know, I met a guy that only at the age of 40, after for 40 years, he said, if you bring me a Talmid Chacham, I'm going to bite him like a donkey. And only at the age of 40, he did tshuva. You know who this guy is? Rabbi Akiva. All the whole Torah we've got today is from this Rabbi Akiva. That only at the age of 40, he went to the right way. Before, he said, "Taviu li talmid chacham en shacheu kechamor." I will bite him like a donkey. Like he hated the talmidei chachamim. It says, Uri Zohar, I also, at the age of 40, 10, and he says a very interesting thing. Let's imagine to ourselves, says Uri Zohar, if I would have met this Rebbe 10 years before, would I have the same influence? He said, no. I was young. I had my, let's say, my desires. I was in my beginning of the way going up. Everybody knew me. Why should I leave this? It came to me at the right time and the right place. And that's exactly the point. Even if we see, you know, I can never forget this. One day I'm walking in Ranana on Shabbos, and I see a group of youngsters playing with a ball, and they didn't look religious at all. Like the girls were half naked, it was in the summer, and the boys like with the trunks and things. And when I came closer, I realized those are children of people I know, religious people. I couldn't believe it. Then, at other Shabbos, I saw two or three kids going out of the house and the corner, picking up a taxi and on Shabbos. And you know, at that time, I says, wow, we are at such a bad situation. If this is the education we're giving our kids, oy vavoy. But I must tell you, today, I don't know if all of them, but most of them I know, they have good families, and they are religious, and they keep the Torah, and they keep the mitzvahs. What happened? Sometimes we feel that our education is no good. Because we see the kids doing strange things. Don't lose hope. And by the way, it doesn't matter what age they are. Never lose hope. We're talking now about Rabbi Akiva at the age of 40. It can happen also at the age of 50. It can happen any time. But if you treat the situation in the right way, then you can get to unbelievable things. By the way, everything in life goes like this. You know, you go to a place, and this guy tells you, I want to build a building 40 floors. But instead of building a building of 40 floors, you see him digging a hole of 10 floors. So this guy is stupid. Instead of building high things, he's digging a hole. But we all know that if he doesn't dig this hole and put good foundation, he cannot build anything. The same way as when you jump. What is the first thing you do when you jump?
Pull the rope.
When you jump.
Preparation.
No. No, jump from here. Yeah, you're standing here, want to jump. What do you do the first thing? You go down. Because if you're going to go up, you have to go down. Somebody asked me, how can I put the chametz, I talked about the chametz that you have to put into the chametz, the purity, the spirituality, and he says, but chametz is wrong. But the thing is, what you're talking about, says, you have to understand. In order to have an advantage, you need a disadvantage. You understand what I mean? If you're missing nothing, you're gaining nothing. In order to get something, you need not, to feel that you need it. If you don't need it, you won't get it. In other words, in order to get up, you have to go down. In order to become Am Yisrael, you have to be slaves first. In order to build the nation, that's what you have to do. That's the procedure. That's the way it goes. And on the way, you must not forget for a minute. It doesn't matter who sits with you on the stage tonight. You have to think they are all a part of our family. They are all Jews. They are all part of this big family that's called Am Yisrael. And sometimes even if they don't behave properly, don't be stupid and don't behave in the wrong way. Let them feel that you love them. And believe me, you don't even know what you can do with those feelings. People that you... Unfortunately, what do we do sometimes? You don't want to bow about them. And, you know, when I talked about Mitzrayim and purity, impurity, one of the problems for us is when somebody invites me to his home and I know that he doesn't keep kosher. He knows I keep kosher. I've got no problem. I know exactly how to deal with the situation. I tell him, sorry, I cannot eat, or you have to bring kosher food. But you can come to me. But the problem is when I keep kosher in, let's say, in a high level, and the guy I'm going to is keeping kosher in a very low level. What do you do now? That's starting to be complicated. So what did God do? God wants us to be sure what is the right way and the wrong way. So he took us out of Egypt, where we weren't involved with all the impurity and all the tumah. And he took us to a place where the tumah is so great that you would not do a mistake. You would understand this is wrong. Now, why did Uri Zohar do tshuva? Why all those actors and those celebrities do tshuva? Because to rock bottom. How do you say it? They get to the bottom. They get to the bottom. Because there's nothing else for them. You know, when you look around, you see they're taking drugs. They need it. It's unbelievable. You see those people are so successful. And suddenly you hear, he committed suicide. And this guy took an overdose of drugs. And why? You've got everything. They've got nothing. As Uri Zohar says, I had this villa in Jaffa. Big villa. The best place. On the sea. I had everything, but I had nothing. And that's exactly the point, because if you haven't got the neshama, you've got nothing. And, yes?
The problem is not the fourth child, it's the fourth son, it's the fifth son.
We talked about it. We said, the Rebbe Mlubavitch used to say that the fifth glass is not for Eliyahu Navi. It's for the son that didn't come to the Seder night. In other words, the son that sits with you, even if we call him a Rasha, the idea is, you have to find a way to connect with him. If we will behave like this, and by the way, Seder night is an opportunity for a lot of us where we sometimes we sit with people, with strange people, not so religious, not really, and this is an opportunity to show them the good side of being Jewish, the good side of keeping mitzvahs. And only this way, if we understand and realize that the whole idea of Pesach is, the whole idea of everything is, da'ahavta le'racha kamocha. So yes, Chometz is there. And Chometz is something that we have to deal at the end of Pesach, we have to deal with it again. But let's use Pesach. When we throw this Chometz away, and we concentrate on the purity of the matzah. You know, you take a bread, put it outside. Can you eat it after 5 days? Impossible. A matzah, you can eat it even after a year. To show you the difference. Not how it looks, what it really is. The point is, both matzah and chometz are made from the same thing. But it's what you do with them. So let's do the right thing.